those who died, because they're going to get a chance to see my Lord before me. But that's all right. They said that us, those of us who are yet alive, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. I'm here to tell you, where is your faith? Let your faith step forward. Let your faith step forward. Don't worry about what the doctor said. Sister Scott, tell your daughter, don't worry about what the doctor said. Allow her faith to come forth, and we know. We know that we serve a great Redeemer. Where's your faith? Your faith shouldn't just be with you on a Sunday morning. It should be with you every day of your life. We never know when a calamity or a storm is going to come in our life. And when the storms come, you got one thing to hold on, and that's your faith. I often ask the question, why get scared? Why get fearful? I haven't seen fear conquer anything. Fear has never conquered anything. So where is your faith? I would much rather have faith in God than to allow fear to overtake my body. Because guess what happened when all the fear is over? There is no healing there. But praise God, if I can turn on the faith that is within me, I can say to this mountain, I can say to that storm, be thou removed. Praise God, and it will be removed. I often tell people, we all gonna get out of here. I'm gonna lay down this body. If Jesus delays his coming, I'm gonna lay down this body. I don't know when, I don't know where, but one thing I can assure you, that if or when you miss me from singing down here, my only message that I have to you is come on up. Bright glory. If you miss me from singing and preaching and praying, prancing down here, come on up to bright glory. I'll be singing. I'll be preaching. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Yeah. I'll be praying. I'll be praising up there. Where's your faith? That might be.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress. In conjunction with the United Theological Seminary and Bible College Leesville Extension 1700, the Leesville Extension of the United Theological Seminary and Bible College will be holding their registration for fall semesters 2017 on August 14th, 15th, and 17th from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the New Willow Baptist Church, 443 Redtown Road, Leesville, Louisiana. Class will begin August 21st, 2017 at 6:30 p.m. at the New Willow Baptist Church. The United Theological Seminary is an accreditation school. We are offering the Bachelor of Theology degree and the Master of Theology degree. We are VA approved and approved for the rehabilitation program as well. For further information, please call the registrar's office at 337-239-4949. Director, Reverend Dr. Harrison Field Sr., Dean, Reverend James L. Gaither Jr., Dr. Carl Armstead is instructor, and registrar is Janice L. Gaither. The United Theological Seminary and Bible College of Leesville Extension 1700 is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT 88.1 FM.
The blood still works. Hadn't lost any power. Amen. To our associate and president of Reverend Smith and our minister of music, Reverend Coleman, to all of officers and members and to visitors who are sharing with us. Thank God for your presence. And as I always say, God is good. And his mercy endures forever. This morning, with the prayers, I want to call our attention to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter number 1. Jesus, keep me near thy cross, just fountain, free to all thy healing spring flows from Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, we thank you for allowing us to assemble once again. We come asking that you allow your Holy Spirit to continue to move freely in our midst. And then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at the 18th verse, you will find these words. Our subject and emphasis is really on the 18th verse. We're going to read the pretext also, for it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing,
yes, sir.
But to us who are being saved, yes, it is the power of God. But it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message of priest to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. For a little while, I just want to talk from this subject. I'm coming back again to tell you why I preach the cross. That's my subject, why I preach the cross. Well, first of all, I preach it because it reveals Christ's power as well as the wisdom of God. And so let me begin by saying that the key verse in this first chapter, thank you, Ursha, of 1 Corinthians is verse number 25 that says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." The key word is in this chapter is the cross, because the entire divine plan and provision for the redemption of sinners is centered in the cross. And that's what makes the message of the gospel good news. But now, in Paul's time, many of the Jews considered the good news of the cross to be foolishness, because they thought the Messiah would be a conquering king accompanied by signs and miracles who would come and restore David's kingdom as they expected. But he was executed as a criminal. And how could a criminal be a savior? And for it's written, cursed is he, is everyone who hangs on a tree. But then the Greeks also considered the good news of the gospel to be foolishness, because they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection, and they didn't see in Jesus the powerful characteristics of their mythological gods. And they thought that no reputable person would be crucified, because to them, death was defeat and not victory. But however, sad to say, even today, the preaching of Christ and him crucified still sound foolish to many, even to some who call themselves Christian. Why? Because our society worships power, influence, and wealth. And that's why for a while, the name it and claim it people and the prosperity gospel became so popular for a little while, until the crash of the economy that left many people leaving the churches where the gospel was being preached to go run behind some name it and claim it and this, that, and the other. But Jesus came as a humble, poor servant, and he offered his kingdom, which is not of this world, to those who have faith, and not to those who do all kinds of good deeds and try to earn salvation. And so The preaching of the cross and Christ crucified sound foolish to the world, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Because receiving Christ personally by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection is the greatest wisdom that anyone can have. And that's why I can say like Apostle Paul who said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And yet there are many so-called experts today in the fields of religious authority who believe that the day of preaching the cross is gone. The sermon is looked upon as an uninterrupted, unchallenged monologue, and they say this is a day of dialogue. And so to live and prosper in this day and time, some say we must swing our emphasis from preaching to ministry. But I say, along with many others, that we need both preaching and ministry, because both are two arms on the same body. And yes, the body reveals that Jesus was insistent, and he came as a minister to minister to those. He went around doing good, but the Bible also said that Jesus came preaching. And so as we make our way to the text, we note that our author, Apostle Paul, could have well centered his preaching in philosophy, Old Testament law, the prophets, even the Jewish tradition and practice. Not only that, he could have centered his preaching in the social gospel as an answer to the social problems of his society. Because Paul was a learned man and a scholar of his day, but he chose to preach Christ crucified, and God blessed his message. Yet there are those today who say just preach Jesus and that's enough. But because Satan, I need to tell you, is content with the preacher who proclaimed Jesus as a good man, even the best man who ever lived. Because if the preacher leaves out the cross, if he leaves out the resurrection, his preaching is incomplete as well as impotent. And that's why the text says, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And so as we celebrate the Lord's Supper that commemorates the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, as well as his ascension and return, I want to share with you just for a few minutes, won't be long, why I preach the gospel. Well, first of all, I preach the cross out of gratitude. I preach the cross because it is the power of God. And knowing this truth, I preach the cross out of gratitude. Because I'm grateful to know that even though death seemed to be the end of the road, the ultimate, and also the ultimate weakness, but in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he demonstrates his power over death, making him able to save us who believe from eternal death and give us eternal life to everyone who trusts in him. So I'm grateful because I know that the preaching of the cross is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so I'm grateful, so grateful that I have to tell somebody that there is a cure for the most dreaded incurable disease of all time. Because the outcome of this disease, if it's not cured, Reverend Smith, will not only bring death to the body, but it will also bring death to the soul. I'm talking about the dreaded disease called sin. And so I'm grateful for my own cure and deliverance by the great physician named Jesus. And you know, I want everybody I meet to know about Jesus. Because when I think about so many who are still in the throes of this enslaving disease, I can't rest until they have been warned of its consequences and informed of its cure. And that the remedy is proclaimed in the preaching of the cross. Because there is no human cure or deliverance from sin. And that's why I've got to tell somebody that out on a dark and bloody hill called Calvary, that there is a fountain filled with blood. that flows from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunge beneath that flood and they just lose all their guilty stain. I gotta tell somebody that even though the preaching of the cross is of those who are perishing foolishness, that the text says that it pleased God through the foolishness of the message of the gospel to save those who believe. And so I preach the cross out of gratitude. But now secondly, I preach the cross because it's a message that never grows old. My brothers and sisters, I always want to preach a fresh gospel, and the story of the cross is always some fresh news. Yeah, it's the same old news, but it's still the newest news that has ever been news. That says extra, read all about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. Now, my brothers and sisters, you may read the account of the cross in any of the gospels in just a few minutes. You may remember parts of the scripture, and you may become familiar with the contents of the Bible. Yet each time you read scripture with your heart open to the illumination of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden new truths begin to leap out of the inspired pages and new application will be revealed for your life. I also, Brother John, preached the cross because sooner or later I need to tell us that suffering becomes the lot of every person who lives. But the question is, how can one face suffering, disappointment, and defeat in a victorious manner? Well, like Paul, many Christians have learned, and they will learn, that being a follower of Christ does not immunize one from the hardships and suffering of life. In other words, there is no promise of exemption from suffering merely because one has faith and lives a faithful life. But now Paul found in the grace of God the strength and wisdom to be victorious even in the midst of suffering, and we can also do likewise. All you got to do is keep your hearts open and let Jesus the Christ have possession of your mind and spirit, because through Christ we can turn tragedy into triumph, because the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's why it also says in Hebrews 4:15-16 that we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. Well, Peter, who was also a preacher of the cross that never grows old, declares in 1 Peter 5:7, he said, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And so Paul says in the text, verse 23-24, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so if any preacher want to preach a gospel that's always fresh and new, then preach the story of Christ crucified. Yes, it's the same old news, but again I say it's the newest news that has ever been news. And so I preach the cross because it is a message that never grow old. Well, finally, I told you it wouldn't be too long. I preach the cross because it's the only means of salvation from sin. And so the text says in verse 18 that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed to destruction. Yeah. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. And so the only message that a Christian have to tell and the only message that a true preacher of the gospel has to preach is the message of the cross. Because the message of the cross tells about Jesus becoming man and dying on an old rugged cross for the penalty of our sin. The message of the cross is about Jesus' resurrection from the dead in order to raise us to new life and give us eternal life. And so as I try to move to the close, why I preach the cross? Well, most importantly, I preach the cross because it's the only means of salvation. Note the text says, in plain and simple terms, our message is God's power and the wisdom for both Jews and Greeks. And even if God could be foolish, he's still wiser than everyone else. And even if God could be weak, he's still stronger than anyone else, because God's power is not of man, but it's offered to every man. And this power that God's offered is the power of salvation, of the deliverance from the penalty of sin forever, Satan's power daily, and eternal life in the presence of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, for the message of the cross is to those perishing nothing but foolishness, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Help me out for a minute and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, have you accepted the foolishness of the gospel? Well, if not, I need to tell you that today is your day. To the backslider, talking about the believer who's gotten a little weak along the way, and you've drifted away from the Lord, and you've been out of church for a while, well, today is your day. All you got to do is ask God for forgiveness. He'll restore you and he'll receive you back into the fold. No matter how long you've been gone, no matter what you've done. That's why the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And go right to the lost person, the person who's never received Christ as your Savior. This is also your day, because the Bible says, according to Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, because the preaching of the cross reveals the only means of salvation from the penalty of sin. As the songwriter says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart, it just rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day, because there is always sufficient room at the cross. Though millions will come, still there's room just for one. But now the power of the cross is on the other side of the cross, where we find that empty tomb. Because this same Jesus that I'm talking about, he did die on an old rugged cross. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. But bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And after showing himself alive for some 40 days, he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. And that's why we observe the Lord's Supper until he returns again. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad I'm a part of the church. I'm talking about the body of Christ, because even if I'm sleeping in my grave, when the Lord